Well, this is the Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio. I'm Aaron Brown. We're broadcasting live from Hibbing Community College in the heart of the Mesabi Iron Range. I'm joined on stage now by the curator of the Minnesota Discovery Center in nearby Chisholm. The Discovery Center is the museum of the Iron Range and contains many historical artifacts and stories that help explain this unique industrial region. Here's Elise Freeman.
Hello.
Yeah. Now, I think I know, but I'm going to put you on the spot and ask you, how would you define the Iron Range?
So that's a very, it's actually a really interesting and difficult question. So since pretty much everyone has their own definition of what the Iron Range is. So to preface, my answer is coming from both a historical and an outsider's perspective. And yes, that's right, Aaron. I do have a quick confession to make.
Are you sure you want to do this? Is this the right place for it?
Maybe.
Okay, let's hear it.
I have to be honest. I'm not a natural-born ranger.
It's okay. It's
Sorry.
Okay. They're okay. It's
I'm
good.
Sorry.
They're good for us.
So I'm originally from a suburb of Chicago, but I'm a Packers fan.
Wow, you just made that a lot worse real quick.
I know. Better watch my car tonight. So I've been up here for about 3.5 years now, and there's almost no other place I'd rather be. And oddly enough, I now like to pretend that I'm Finnish, but my friends and family keep insisting that sadly I'm not. I tend to have this vision that in my previous life I was a feisty Finnish labor leader back during the early days and maybe a part of the 1916 strike. I don't know. So having said this, my definition of the Iron Range is that it is a place like no other. It's a place that has a history of being radical, of being home to thousands of hardworking people with a variety of backgrounds, and a place that offers some of the most interesting history I have ever had the privilege of working with. And this history is pretty unique, since essentially it's the history of our country in a microcosm. And what I mean by that is this. So first, you had indigenous groups living in northern Minnesota, namely the Sioux and then the Ojibwe, who continue to be part of the Iron Range fabric, which is important to know. But then, once mining started, you had thousands of immigrants lured here with the promise of the American dream, creating that infamous melting pot. And then the arrival of this huge workforce eventually led to a showdown between local immigrant miners and big-time capitalists like Carnegie, Rockefeller, and Morgan. And then you could flash forward to today, where the Iron Range represents our country's current fight between supporting American industries and the ominous force known as globalization. Yes. So obviously I skipped a lot of history, but I think you guys can get the gist. And so at the Minnesota Discovery Center, we tell a lot of these stories primarily through exhibits. And I am proud to say that we have won 2 awards for a recent exhibit on the 1916 strike, one statewide and one national award. And that features your history, your story, nothing made up there.
What are you saying, Elise?
Well, that might get to your last question.
Well,
right?
Yeah, maybe you heard our Ancient Aliens a bit earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we took a few liberties there with some
bit.
Of the truth. So tell us about this move of Hibbing that happened.
Yeah, so while I did enjoy the alien explanation, to use the parlance of our times, it was filled with alternative facts.
Yeah.
believe me. it really was those little greasy immigrants that moved the town. So similar to the story of the Highway 53 bridge now, U.S. Steel needed that ore under North Hibbing. And luckily, like was mentioned before, Oliver did pay for the entire move, paid for new sewage and electric lines, the Andre Hotel, the City Hall, and then, of course, the famous Hibbing High School. So for the relocation itself, they used logs to roll the buildings. And if the buildings were too big, they would cut them into 2 or 3 different pieces and then move them. And then if it was too tall, they would remove the chimney and then maybe have a worker kind of hold up the like watch the roof for electrical lines so it would kind of hold up those. But it wasn't quick, or it wasn't long, until legends started cropping up about Hibbing when it moved. So one story goes that a woman started to give birth in one house and then had the baby, or at one address, and then had the baby at the new address after it was moved. Another one is that a lot of people who either left and then came back, or even residents at that time, would get to Hibbing and not realize, and not know where they were going because they didn't set the town in the same exact way that it was, so they would get lost.
Someone moved all the stuff around so that
yeah,
when came
so
back.
Yeah, so when you would go to even your own home, you didn't know where to
right.
go.
That's right. It was like playing Tetris from North Hibbing to South Hibbing.
Exactly, yeah.
Nice. Well, Elise Freeman
yes.
from
Thank
the Minnesota
you.
Discovery Center.
Thank you.